Hello, everyone, and welcome to Slobberknocker Radio, episode 6, I think. Another solo podcast by just me, Brent Strasburg, here. And I just want to go over the past week in professional wrestling, which has been an amazing week. Had some highs, had some lows, had some in-betweens, and figured, hey, you know, let's record something special here. I don't know what's special, but let's record something here to talk about some of the events. I have a limited time period, so I'm going to try to go quickly. But I have to start off with the Ultimate Warrior. Tragic what happened to him. Tuesday, he passed away, as I'm sure you've heard if you're listening to this. And it's a shame. I mean, especially considering the weekend that he just had, and now that he finally came back to the fans after being away for like 15 years, he finally came back to the fans. He finally got embraced by the fans, in public, you know, one more time. And then for him to just pass away was just tragic. I mean, after getting, you know, he went to the Hall of Fame Saturday, had a, you know, moment at WrestleMania where he came out to his theme song and waved to the people. And then on Raw, obviously the promo that almost foreshadowed his death. I mean, granted, a lot of Warriors promos really dealt with that same subject material, and to hear that from Warrior Monday was not shocking, but to hear it on, you know, in hindsight is kind of mind-blowing. But, you know, it's sad. It really is sad that he finally came back. He was finally getting embraced again by, you know, by all the people that grew up loving him. And especially, I especially feel bad for his wife and his two little daughters who he shared a moment with at the Hall of Fame ceremony. And you could just tell that, you know, he is the Ultimate Warrior, but at this point in his life, that doesn't matter much to him anymore. I mean, it's still going to be a part of him, but the fact that he's married and has these two little girls meant so much more to him than the Ultimate Warrior ever could. And to see those people, to see his wife and to see his daughters lose a husband and lose a father is probably the saddest event of it all. And my deepest condolences go out to his family. And he seemed like he had it all turned around, which was awesome. And it's just tragic what happened. But I could go on forever. I love the Warrior as a kid. I mean, I had when I was six, I had one of the few birthday parties I did have. And pretty much like all the gifts I got were wrestling related. And I had an Ultimate Warrior wrestling, Ultimate Warrior, birthday cake, excuse me. And it was awesome. And I mean, Warrior will always be a huge, I mean, I had little tassels growing up and run around the house and trying to shake things, and just Warrior was awesome, and to see him taken away from us at 54 is just tragic. Anyways, the Hall of Fame ceremony on Saturday was great. It was a little long, I can't lie. Would have been nice to see it take a little less time, but Lita, Jake Roberts, Mr. T, Paul Bearer, Razor Ramon, Carlos Colon and Ultimate Warrior were brought into the Hall of Fame that night, and there's some good speeches. Jake Roberts, that man is a genius when it comes to talking on a microphone, no matter where it is. When I saw him in West Dallas, and he was at a wrestling event, and he talked about his life and talked about, kind of gave some of the same things he gave in his Hall of Fame. He talked about how he just didn't want to be alive anymore and everything, and he really knows how to talk, and it's nice to see that he's turned his life around, because there were moments where he wanted to die, and when he would find out that a wrestler died, he'd be like, why couldn't that be me? And, I mean, that's tragic, and you never want to hear that from anybody, let alone, you know, somebody that you grew up watching and loving as a kid. And it's nice to see Jake turn things around. And yeah, and Mr. T. I can't not talk about the Hall of Fame talking about Mr. T. I thought Mr. T's speech was pretty cool. Was it long? Yeah. Did it talk about wrestling at all? No, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, the crowd was obviously having a lot of fun with it, and Mr. T loves his mama, and that definitely, you know, shined through on that speech, but, you know, it was fun, and, I can see Mr. T's a good guy, and I feel bad that they had to cut him off, but at the same time, the event, I mean, at that point, it was already, I think, hour and a half, hour 45 minutes in, and they had four more people to go, and they had supposed to be a 2.5 hour event, and ended up going 3.5, and it, you know, it could have easily gone more had they not kind of shut things down a little bit, but, I feel bad for him, but at the same time, Mr. T got to talk for 25 minutes or whatever, and that's good. I'm glad he got put in. He deserved to be put in, and that's all I'm really going to say about that. WrestleMania itself, I was really happy with WrestleMania. My predictions, I was wrong on at least half the matches, which, hey, you know what? I'm okay with that. It definitely made for an exciting show. The beginning of WrestleMania was just awesome. Before that, even the pregame match where basically Cesaro and Jack Swagger split up. I was really hoping that Cesaro would get a push. I didn't know if it would be happening at WrestleMania. I thought maybe they'd get the tag belts and grow as a tag team a little more, and then he'd get his push, but it didn't end up happening that way, and I'm totally fine with that. I'm glad Cesaro and Jack Swagger broke up, and then at the beginning of WrestleMania, had the host of WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan, come out, talk a little bit, screw up, call it the Silver Dome instead of the Superdome. Easy mistake for Hulkster to make. He always screws up anyways, so, you know, that's what he does. And then Stone Cold came out, which was awesome to see those two in the ring at the same time. Stone Cold, you know, talked, you know, gave him some hell for calling it the Silver Dome. And then The Rock came out, which just, at that point, they set the bar really high for WrestleMania. I mean, just to have those three in the ring at the same time. Rock, you know, talked a little bit. It, you know, went on about 15 minutes. It could have went on a lot longer. It would have been, I mean, those three could have just hung on the ring all night and I wouldn't have cared. But ended up drinking some beers and going to the back, and that ended up being it for all of those guys for the show. Daniel Bryan won his match against Triple H. I thought it was a really good match, really good psychology behind the match of Triple H just doing anything to try to keep Daniel Bryan away from the main event at WrestleMania, including injuring his shoulder again after the match, and a really good match. Really dug that. The Shield versus Outlaws and Kane was exactly what it needed to be. The Shield just came in and clobbered them, and that's perfect. That was what you wanted to see. Glad the Shield didn't break up or anything like that. Just good match. The Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, which had advertised as 30 people, actually had 31 people in it, because Yoshitatsu, Tyson Kidd, and Cesaro took the three mystery spots in the match. David Otunga replaced Christian, who had a concussion, but then Xavier Woods was also in the match, and he was not previously listed as being in there. And I looked, nobody else was replaced in there, so I actually had 31 people, which is kind of crazy that I don't know if they screwed up and just missed that. Sorry about that. Or what happened, if they just wanted to have 31 people in there and just didn't care that people, they figured most people wouldn't notice because most people aren't crazy like me. Anyways, it ended up with Cesaro winning the Battle Royal, picking up the Big Show, body slamming him over the top rope in a Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant-like fashion, and Cesaro winning the trophy, which was just fantastic. A fantastic moment. Probably, you know, at that point, WrestleMania was already a good show, but that just raised it to the next level for me. I'm a big Cesaro fan, and I'm glad he's finally, looks like he's finally getting the push that he deserves, because he's a great wrestler, great athlete. Has enough charisma to get away on the microphone when he gets a shot, and you know, I think he's got a lot of talent, and he's definitely one of the new faces of the WWE. John Cena beat Bray Wyatt. I thought the match was a little slow paced, but overall, from a psychology perspective, it worked pretty well. Of Bray Wyatt, just Bray Wyatt wanted to lose that match. Bray Wyatt wanted John Cena to finish him, and I kind of wish John Cena would have gotten to that dark place to beat him. to make it more efficient. But I guess I can't complain too much. I wish, but like I said, I kind of wish they would have went there. Would have made John Cena go to a darker spot to win that match. Kind of like when John Cena had that rivalry with Kane a couple of years ago. And Kane wanted John Cena to be, you know, the dark side of John Cena. And I kind of wish he kind of let that out against Kane a little bit, you know, when he had a match against him in Elimination Chamber 2012 where he gave him the AA off of the ambulance. You know, there's kind of that moment, but it never got to that point in this match, which is, I kind of wish it would have got there. But anyways, the streak. I can't believe it. Nobody could believe it in the Superdome. I don't think anybody could believe it that was watching WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar came in and beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania to make him 21-1. And the match itself, not so good when you're watching it the first time. Really kind of a slower pace. Then you find out, hey, The Undertaker suffered a severe concussion pretty early on in that match. And makes you appreciate him sticking through and somehow finishing up that match, even though he had no idea where he was. The streak ending, I don't hate it. I kind of did at the moment, just because you always want to see, you know, The Undertaker win at WrestleMania. But in hindsight, I totally get their direction, where they're going with this. They're making, basically, Undertaker's passing the torch. Is he retiring? Maybe not. But is he passing the torch? Definitely. And he's passing it to Brock Lesnar, who, you know, he needs to be a legitimate badass for him to work in the WWE. And to have him lose to Undertaker at WrestleMania, not to say that wouldn't make him still a badass, but that, you know, deteriorate him a little bit. But to have him beat The Undertaker pushes him to the stratosphere. And whatever they're going to do with Brock Lesnar in the future, it seems like he's going to be taking another one of his hiatuses for the time being, which kind of is a shame. I'd like to see him keep going and keep doing something with this, but, you know, I'll get the push off of this that he should get, but at the same time, it is what it is. I like it, just because it's different. It's shocking, and it's putting that dent into the Undertaker character that he isn't perfect. And anyways, whatever. It doesn't matter. I like the outcome. And AJ Lee left WrestleMania with the Divas Championship, which I kind of thought was going to happen, and I'm totally okay with that in that match context. It seems like it was Vicky Guerrero's last thing. I don't know if I talked about it. No, I didn't. But it was Vicky Guerrero's, I believe, last appearance on TV. And, you know, that was a good way to have her go out screaming and being full of hate towards AJ Lee. I thought it worked pretty well. And then the main event of WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan won the WWE Championship. And I thought it was a great match. Lots of good moments in there. Lots of, you know, they stacked the odds against Daniel Bryan so many ways. Just having him be against Randy Orton and Batista, who basically teamed up on him for most of the match. To have Triple H and Stephanie come out. To have Brad Armstrong come out and become the referee after the first referee got knocked out. Tons of good moments. Tons of it being like, oh my god, they are doing everything in their power to stop Daniel Bryan. And having Daniel Bryan overcome everything. Was it absolutely believable? Not really. But at the same time, it was a great moment in the way that Daniel Bryan needed to win the championship. Raw the next night was perfect. It started off with Daniel Bryan coming out to the ring, celebrating, getting "You Deserve a Chance," and then Triple H came out and said, "You know what? I'm challenging you main event tonight. I'm getting the WWE Championship from you," and setting up that, oh no, they're going to screw Daniel Bryan out of the championship again moment, which I thought worked pretty well. The Wyatts took on Cena, Big E, and Sheamus. Wyatt's got the win in that one. I thought it was too little too late on that. I think they should have got the win at the pay-per-view more so, but whatever. And then that led into from one brother to another, Bo Dallas. A promo for Bo Dallas coming to the WWE. Very, like, inspirational, believe promo from Bo Dallas. I'm not 100% sure that character, as it is going to work in the WWE. But hey, they're going to give it a shot, and we'll see. We'll see where it goes, but yeah, we'll see. And then Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman came out. Paul Heyman cut an amazing promo that basically put Brock Lesnar over to 1,000 degrees. Heyman is a master on the microphone, but he is doing Brock Lesnar such a service. And as much as Brock Lesnar defeated Undertaker at WrestleMania for the streak, you could almost say that Paul Heyman was the reason why it happened, because he is that important in the WWE right now as a character, and just that good on the microphone that he's, you know, Brock Lesnar is the beast, but Paul Heyman is the mind, and that's awesome. Yeah, and then they cut a vignette for Adam Rose, who's officially going to be bringing the Adam Rose experience to Monday Night Raw in the future to the WWE, and, you know, I think the character works. I don't think it was as fun necessarily as the first time. I think it kind of is like, all right, well, we've seen this, but at the same time, it is so much fun that I think it'll work. Sorry, I'm getting a little stuffy here. Work as a WWE gimmick. I think it's just a lot of fun, and the fans will respond to it. Will it be a long lasting thing? Probably not, but hey, give it a shot, right? RVD came back. Awesome to see RVD in the ring. See him working with the younger talent again, and hopefully, you know, doing his job, getting some young guys over. Because that was basically the, as I find out from the next stuff, that was basically the entire premise of Monday Night Raw, which it wasn't shocking. It didn't have, you know, a big Undertaker return. It didn't have Sting coming back or anything. But it was all about getting over the younger talent and focusing on a new generation, which was awesome to see. Bad News Barrett took on Rey Mysterio in his first match in who knows how long on TV, a long-ass time. And, God, the crowd was just so behind Barrett, and he deserved it. And it was just awesome to see. I'm looking for big things coming out of Wade Barrett in the future. Definitely. Definitely nice to see, too. Then Alexander Rusev had his first singles match where he destroyed Zack Ryder. I feel bad for Zack, but Rusev is a beast. And hopefully, you know, he's got a tough character to work with, and I don't know if it's going to 100% work in the WWE exactly, but, you know, I can see it kind of going the way of Brodus Clay right now, where he kind of became a joke. He was kind of a badass, became a joke, and now he's kind of going to NXT and working on being a badass again, but I don't know if that badass monster heel works really anymore. We'll see. Hopefully good things come out of Rusev. Then probably the shocking, out of a night of shocking events, AJ came out, said, I beat all of the divas, you know, there's nobody that can stop me. And then Paige from NXT, the women's champion in NXT, came out, and AJ slapped her, said, okay, you know what, I'll face you tonight, I'll give you a shot at the belt. And of course, immediately it was kind of obvious that Paige was going to walk away with the Diva Championship, but you never know, and once you... Once you won, once you hit that Paige Turner for the win, it was a big moment, and very cool to see that Paige is now the NXT Women's Champion and the WWE Divas Champion at the same time, and wow, couldn't be a better, I mean, she's probably the best women's wrestler in WWE, maybe besides Natalya, and nice to see they're giving her a push right away. Probably the best moment of the night. Besides, the Paige thing was cool. RVD coming back was cool. Barrett was cool. Cesaro got his trophy from Hulk Hogan, official presentation. Zeb came out with him, and Zeb was like, hey, you know, you're a Zeb Coulter guy. And then Cesaro was like, no, I'm a Paul Heyman guy. And then Heyman came out, and Cesaro aligned himself with Paul Heyman, which is great for Cesaro's future. I mean, if you're going to skyrocket this, you're strapping a rocket on him and sending him to the moon, and Paul Heyman is the guy to do that. So Zeb Coulter, while great, I don't think he has that same power. You know, he doesn't have that Heyman magic in his promo. Zeb Coulter kind of has his character, but he doesn't do anything outside of that character. And to see Cesaro with Paul Heyman is just amazing. And then I could go on forever about that, but I just think Cesaro with Heyman is just the best thing that WWE could do, and that's giving Paul Heyman one of the best people to work with while Brock Lesnar goes on his hiatus. Unlike last time where he kind of just disappeared when Brock wasn't around anymore and he stopped managing Axel and Ryback. It's nice to see Paul Heyman's going to be around, and with Cesaro, just get that guy over big time. Then the main event, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. It looked like, oh my god, they're going to screw Daniel Bryan over. They had Orton and Batista come out. They had Kane come out, all beat up on Daniel Bryan. Then Triple H came out, said, you know, ring the bell. And then when the bell rung, then they had the Shield music hit. The Shield hit the ring, did their thing, and came in. Roman speared Triple H. They just ended up fighting Kane and Batista and Orton, and just what a great way to end the show, to get the Shield over to big push and all their young developmental talent, definitely. And it looks like a lot of those guys, if you had to guess a year from now, WrestleMania 31, I could see a big changing of the guard where a lot of these younger guys like Cesaro, like the Shield, Daniel Bryan, Bad News Barrett, Paige, they're going to be the headliners at WrestleMania 31, and it is exciting to see that. There's always more to talk about, but I'm running out of time. I need to mention Jeff Jarrett announced his new company, which was, in all of this exciting weekend of news, kind of got overshadowed. Not a whole lot of details came out other than it's Global Force Wrestling. It definitely seemed like they have a worldwide agenda in bringing in all of the best talent in the world to one wrestling place. They haven't announced any events. They haven't announced any talent. They haven't announced really a start date other than probably later this year, maybe early 2015. And released some shirts. That's about really it for Global Force Wrestling. But hopefully, you know, he said more news to come over the next couple weeks, months, you know. And hopefully they start announcing some good talent there. I'm sure they will. Jeff Jarrett has a good eye for that. And looking forward to watching Global Force Wrestling in the future. We'll see what they have in store. Besides that, great week in wrestling. Sad about the Ultimate Warrior. Sad about the Ultimate Warrior passing, and we'll see where the rest of 2014 takes us. But right now, the future is bright. Everything looks great, and I could not be any more happy with the direction that a lot of places are going. I didn't get to talk about TNA and Eric Young winning the championship, but we'll save that for a later podcast. But for now, I'm Brent Strasburg. Rest in peace, Ultimate Warrior, and I will see you in the future.